Our scripture passage this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country, the Gerasenes, asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love this astounding account of the miraculous power of Jesus. I love this account because someone who is suffering encounters Jesus the Christ, fully God, fully human, God in one, God in three, three in one. And he encounters Jesus and he's healed, his life is set right. He's able to continue to live a life of faithfulness instead of a life of great pain and great suffering. It's a wonderful story of transformation. It's a wonderful account of the miraculous power of Christ in the midst of terrible odds. It's a story that gives us courage to do great things for Christ as well. But it's also an account that gives us various scenes in which a very particular action is described. And I think it's sort of a way in which we can view our discipleship as we're there with Christ. So we put ourselves there in the country of the Gerasenes. We can imagine what it would be like to be there. And then we can read these words and we can say, now I'm on this journey of discipleship. I'm on this journey of becoming a better disciple of Jesus Christ each and every day, of growing, of learning, of exercising my discipleship each and every day. And where am I in the midst of these scenes, in the midst of the action that takes place here in the country of the Gerasenes? Where am I in this story as it unfolds in the midst of everything that's happening? Well, the first scene really takes place here, where it just talks about the fact that Jesus, when he stepped off the boat, the demons met him. The demons met him there, and the man who had the demons, of course, met him there. And then immediately the demons are asking, what's going on? Why are you here? What are you doing? And they are meeting him even before he starts any of his ministry, even before he starts anything there. The demon-possessed man greets him and meets him and wants to know exactly what is going on. This past week, Gloria Vanderbilt passed away. I don't know Gloria Vanderbilt, but she was of the family of the Vanderbilts that built Biltmore House. And she was, in her earlier years, you may have read some articles about her this week. She was 95 when she passed away. Anderson Cooper is her son. And she was in the midst, as a young child, she was in the midst of custody battles because attached to her was a very great fortune. And the newspapers back then called her the poor little rich girl, because everyone was fighting not over her, but over her vast fortune that came attached to her. And so she led an interesting childhood, not good, very interesting childhood. But as she grew older, she realized that if she wanted to live a happy life, she needed to work and provide and to do something. She said, you'll appreciate it so much more when you earn it yourself than when it's just given to you. So she established a fashion dynasty and everything else, and became famous for her designer jeans, which really started the whole thing of designer jeans and all that stuff. But the interesting thing is that she took that attitude about life. And one article I read, maybe you read it too, was that over a fireplace in her home, she had this saying painted over the fireplace. And I was amazed when they said what it was. She said, be kind to everyone you meet, because everyone is fighting a great battle. That's what she had over her fireplace in her main room of her house, to remind herself, every person you meet is fighting a great battle. Here in this scene, we see Jesus stepping off the boat and encountering this man who is fighting a great battle. You could say he'd already lost the battle. The demons had possessed him more than one. That he encountered them in the midst of that. And then, of course, we go through the fact that the people there had not tried to kill him. You know, they could easily have said, he needs to die. We need to get rid of this plague that's here. They had tried to help him. They had tried to restrain him. They had put him in shackles and chains, but they were trying to do the best that they could for him, because they were simply amazed at everything that was going on, and they were astounded. They didn't know what else to do. And then, because of the demons, he would break his chains and go and live not in a house, but in the tombs there. It's very sad. It's very difficult. It's very horrible life that he was living. And yet the demons realized that Jesus was there and that Jesus was coming, and that that meant that things would change. This is where perhaps we enter in the picture. This is where we enter into that scene, because we encounter other people each and every day. And just like that saying, be kind to everyone you meet, because everyone is fighting a major battle. Everyone is fighting a great battle. So everyone we encounter, we need to realize, needs to encounter Christ in us. And everyone we encounter also needs to realize that we are agents of change in our world, that we are not afraid of making change, that we know that Christ has called us to build the kingdom here and now, and that means that we build the kingdom which is not here. We build it so that change will occur, and that we're not afraid of encountering that which needs to be changed in our world. Queen Esther, one of my heroes in the Bible, Queen Esther, when she was encountered with the fact that as queen she had a place where she could make a change and save the Jews from extinction, from being wiped out. She could save them, but she had to be brave enough to put her life on the line, and she decided that she would do that for her people. She was a Jew, and she realized that she was being called upon to put her life on the line to make that change. And if she had not been willing, well, God's a God of many miracles. God can do whatever God wants to. But In theory, if she had said no, then the Jews might have faced extinction at that time, because the king of Persia was certainly capable of wiping out the Jewish race. And so she put her life on the line. She was not afraid of making that change. She was not afraid of doing that. So as we see Christ not afraid to say, "What is your name?" And the demon said, "Legion," because there were many. Christ was not afraid of saying, "Yes, and I'm here to make a change." So also, if we put ourselves in this first scene that's here, we have to realize that Christ is calling upon us to encounter the people who are suffering, to encounter the evils of our world, to name that evil, and then to not be afraid of putting our lives out there so that change is indeed accomplished, so that change happens. And then we see also a very important scene, because we see these demons, legion, many demons. We see what they were able to accomplish. We see that even though the townspeople had tried to help, that the demons were stronger than that. And then we realize that Christ is immediately in control of this situation. In other words, we immediately encounter the almighty power of God in Christ. And the demons are immediately realize that he is in control. And they start pleading with them. And I think it's interesting where they say the demons begged Jesus to let them enter into the swine herd. And then it says, so Jesus gave them permission. I love that. Jesus gave the demons permission to destroy themselves, basically. He gave them permission that they could do that. Who was in control? Certainly Christ is in control. And that's where the truth of the scripture, you've heard me say this before, that when we encounter evil, we encounter Satan, the personification of evil, that our Lord tells us, resist Satan, and Satan will flee from you. It doesn't say conquer Satan. It doesn't say destroy Satan, and Satan will go away. All it says is resist. Resist Satan, and Satan will flee from you. Because we resist in the name of Christ, and through the name of Christ, we have that authority. Is that where we are in our discipleship? Scene number two, of realizing that we have that authority through Christ, that we bear the name Christians into the world, so that we have that authority of Christ. Christ has given that to us so that if we resist evil, evil will be changed in our world. Is that where we are in our discipleship, in what is happening? The next section is perhaps a little bit tougher. You go tougher than thousands of demons in a man, tougher than Christ ordering them to be destroyed and the power they must have had that Christ did that. Yes, the other part is a little bit tougher, because the townspeople came looking for an explanation. They came there. They heard what was happening. They heard what had happened. In verse 35, it says, then the people came out to see what had happened. They wanted to see it for themselves, and they came there seeking an answer, seeking an explanation, seeking to know exactly what was going on. Why did this happen? How did this happen? Everything that we've done to try to help this man, and nothing worked, and he's still living in the tombs, naked, possessed by these demons, and now all of a sudden he is in his right mind, and they want to know what happened. How did this happen? How did this change take place? How is God acting in the world? And why, if God can cast out thousands of demons from one person, why is there any evil in the world? Now, if you're not in this scene yet, you will be. Because not only do non-believers look to us for explanation as to why the world is such as it is, but also our family, our fellow Christians, those who are disciples along with us, also when we face suffering, seek answers and seek explanations. We come and say, why? Why is this going on? Why am I not encountering the God of almightiness, the God who can heal, the God who can change, the God who can make everything perfect, everything just right? Everything restored to healthiness and wholeness. Everything restored to peace and calm and security. No fears, no anxieties, no suffering in the world. If you're not there yet, you will be. That scene finds us from one time to another. And the only word that we can give is the word of faith, not the word of explanation. The word of faith that says, yes, but God is in control. Yes, but evil cannot stand in the presence of God. And therefore, God is with us as we go through this time. You will find yourself, we all find ourselves in that scene many different times. Maybe not in the country of the Gerasenes, but certainly there as we offer with our own feeble efforts the explanation. God loves you. God is always with you. God is there. God will see you through and God will help you bear this load. Even if we don't understand why you're having to carry that load, we know that God is there and that Jesus is indeed always faithful. That scene is perhaps the most difficult one of all. And then, of course, we see the reaction of the townspeople. They see this man. He is healed. He is restored. He is clothed. He is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, learning from Jesus. You would think they would say, let's have a festival. Let's have a celebration. This is amazing. This is wonderful. Look at this miraculous event that's taking place. But instead, they are filled with fear. They see the power of God. They see it in this person of Jesus. And they are afraid. And to make it perhaps worse, they ask Jesus to leave. They're not ready to encounter this power of God. They're not ready for that amount of change. That change frightens them. This idea that God can come on the scene and take something and make it drastically different, just like that. Make it drastically different so that something else occurs. And that change frightens them, that power of God, the presence of God in the person of Christ. And it's interesting because Christ did other miracles. He did miraculous things all throughout the Gospels. We see Christ performing miraculous things. And many times what happened was that more people would come out to see him, more people would come out to encounter him because they were amazed at the miracle worker. And Christ would say, no, it's not about the miracles, it's about the kingdom of God. And Christ would try to explain that to them as well. But here, when they encounter this gigantic miracle, the presence of God, the power of God over evil, they are so filled with fear of the change that they ask Jesus to leave. This scene may not be the hardest, but perhaps it's the most meaningful because, you know, as disciples, we're all about the fact that God changes us each and every day. And as disciples, we welcome that change. We want to grow in our discipleship each and every day. We want to grow as who we are as Christians. And so therefore, if we grow, that means we change. We're learning, we're adapting, we're doing what God is calling us to do. And that involves change. That's just the necessity of it. And yet, sometimes we're fearful of that as well. We might not admit it, but we might say, Lord, I'm good. Thank you. I'm all right. I've sort of figured out things for myself. And just like that song said, we go to the king of the world and we say, yeah, I got it, God. Thanks anyway. You don't have to be king of me. I'm good. I'm afraid of where you might take me, so I'm going to take back control. And, you know, that never works. It just simply never works. But then a part of this scene is also, of course, the fact that the people they encountered were afraid of that change as well. So we see both sides of that. It's sort of a twofold scene where those who would be disciples of Christ, those who are us, the ones gathered here, disciples of Christ, that we're afraid, perhaps, anxious of where God might be taking us. as we realize that those who are encountering Christ for the first time might be afraid as well. They might say, I'm comfortable with the person I am. I'm comfortable. My world makes sense. Don't shake the boat. I can't take it. I can't have my world rocked right now. I need everything to continue on the status quo. And then in our discipleship, as we enter into this scene, we realize that's not what God is calling us to do. God is calling on us to change, and God is definitely calling on us to change the world. And Christ gives us not only that authority, but also the power to accomplish just that. The saddest scene, of course, is the closing one. It's so sad that that man there, he's gone through so much in his life, and we don't know, you can't blame him for it, but he was possessed and he was there and he lived this horrible life and people were afraid of him and everything else. And now he's restored. He understands who Christ is. He gets it that Christ is the Lord. And as Jesus is getting ready to leave, he says, no, take me with you. I want to go with you. I want to be at your feet and worship you. I want to be always safe and secure and in your presence. And Christ tells him no. I'd like to think that that sort of broke Christ's human heart as well, to say no to this man who was wanting to go with him, to be a very faithful, very loyal disciple of Jesus Christ, and to go with him and continue to learn and everything else. And Christ said, yes, that's wonderful, and I get it, but I have a more important thing for you to do, and that is I want you to be a witness in this area. I want you to witness because I'm having to leave, and therefore I'm leaving you to plant the seeds so that indeed Christianity might flourish, so that others might come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. How very sad that is, but how very necessary and how very powerful. And also, what great meaning that gave to that man's life, to go from being possessed by thousands of demons to becoming an apostle, one who was sent into that area to bear the name of Christ, to bear the word of Christ, to bear the good news of Christ as well. And we can only imagine all that he did as well in that area and all the groundbreaking ways in which he brought the name of Christ to bear there. And so we must place ourselves in that scene. Scene number 5, we must place ourselves there because Christ says to each and every one of us, as the generations of those who continue on after the ascension, after Pentecost, that we are to be the witness. We are to be the ones who indeed bear Christ's name into all the world and to make a difference from the name of Christ. And we would also wish to be at the feet of Christ, to simply adore Christ and to worship Christ and to be there with Christ every second of every day. And Christ says, no, you have to go out where it's difficult, where it may be even dangerous. You have to go out there and bear my name and make a difference in the world. So we have scenes in this passage of change, of resistance, of explanation, of fear, and a proclamation as well. And we are called upon to be in each one of those scenes, each one of those avenues of how we express our Christianity, each one of those things of proclaiming the greatness of our God and the way in which God impacts the world. Where are you? Where are you in your discipleship? Where are you resisting in your discipleship as well? Where do you resist being involved in that next step in the process? Let us all pray that we will not only hear God's word, but we will live God's word as we continue to grow into our faithful discipleship, our faithful witness. Let us pray.